Now, when you talk about the 7-year tribulation, we're actually talking about a prophesied week of years in the book of Daniel. The 7-year tribulation is divided in two halves. This is deep, call of the deep. Ready? The first half is 3.5 years. And the second half is 3.5 years. Is that deep? Deep call of the deep. Praise the Lord. But when the Bible refers to those 3.5 years, whether it be the first or second half, it'll refer to it as 1260 days, or it'll refer to it as 42 months. This is a Jewish calendar of 360 days, or it'll refer to it as a time, times, and a half of time. Time being 1 year, times 2 years, and a half of time being a half year. It's still the same 3.5 years. So when he marks events, and we're going to look at a lot of events tonight. We're going on a journey tonight. Amen. So I'm going to kick it in gear in a minute. Marks these events in the Word of God. He'll describe those time frames. So you're going to know when he says these time frames, he's talking about the first half or the second half. Amen. There's a lot going on. We're going to clarify a lot of misconceptions about this book. Praise the Lord. But the first thing I want to do is take a little bit of time to tell you about the 70th week of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. The angel of Gabriel is speaking. We'll pick it up in verse 24. I mean, he's under a major encounter, and he tells him 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. And he breaks those 70 weeks. Now, it's not 70 weeks as you would know, 70 weeks of 7 days. It's actually 70 weeks of 7 years. Each week being 7 years. Okay. He breaks those weeks down. In the book, if you'll look at verse 25, he says, "Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So what 62 weeks is 62 weeks and 7 weeks. 62 plus 7 is 69. Amen. So he's saying from the rebuilding of Jerusalem, if you get the notes, I kind of break some of that down of what he's talking about, but I'm not going to get caught up in that tonight. He divides that in 62 weeks of 7 years and 7 weeks of 7 years. 49 years to rebuild the temple. And from that point all the way till the Messiah rides in was 69 weeks of years. I don't want to confuse you too much with that. 62 weeks. 7 weeks of years. 7 weeks of 7 years to rebuild the temple. That's 49 years. Once it was rebuilt from that position, there was another 62 weeks of 7 years. From that point, I mean, there was a guy named Clarence Larkin that just got it down to the day. He was a brilliant man, and he put all the calendars together, and he got it down to the day. But from the time that the temple was rebuilt all the way to the time that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, that was 62 weeks of 7 years, or 434 years. I mean, to the day. So we had 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecies were fulfilled. Okay, already done. There was 1 week that wasn't fulfilled. It was supposed to be fulfilled, but they said something very remarkable in the Bible here. Look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks, or after the 62 weeks, so first you had the 7 weeks of 7 years, and after the 62 weeks of 7 years, Messiah was cut off. Once Messiah was cut off, once Christ was rejected, and he went to the cross, that 7 years is yet to be fulfilled. Thus, how you get the 7-year tribulation. And the witness goes back to the Jews during that time. The coming 7-year tribulation is going to be the final week of Daniel. Now, he says something very remarkable in verse 27. Let me go back to verse 26. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be a flood. And the end of the war, desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant for many for 1 week. This is speaking of the Antichrist. When he confirms the covenant, he is going to broker the 7-year, what we know to be a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. He's going to broker it. It's going to be a successful treaty. It's going to be successful for 3.5 years. He's going to broker that treaty with them. That's what it means right there. He's going to confirm the covenant for 7 years. He brokers the treaty. But notice what he says here in the same verse, and in the midst of the week, see, in the midst of the week, verse 27, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, and he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation that is determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All that means is, the abomination spoken of desolation, we're going to look at this, in the midst of the 7 years, in exact midway, because it's going to mark it down to the day, in 3.5 years, in the midst of that week, he's going to walk into the temple and he's going to declare himself God. He's going to break the treaty. He's going to cause the sacrifices to stop. They're going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. They're going to begin sacrifices again. That's all going to happen. And he's going to walk in there. He's going to declare the end of the sacrifices. He said, I am the God that you're sacrificing to. And that's referred to as the abomination of desolation. That's going to happen midway into the 3.5 years. After that time, nobody wants to be on planet Earth. I can assure you, nobody. Amen? So that's what that means. So I want to fast forward a little bit now. Some things are going to happen. Once that peace treaty is signed, that begins the day of the two witnesses. Their witnesses is marked down to the day. They are given 1260 days, exactly 3.5 years on a Jewish calendar. We looked at this Sunday, but theirs begin the day that peace treaty starts. The church will already be gone, raptured, caught up, however you want to say it. We're out of here. That would have been a good time to say amen. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people who feel like you're going to go through, but I'm telling you, there's already a change because by the time the two witnesses arrived, we looked at this Sunday, you went from grace to judgment. There was a shift in dispensation right there. The message changed. They were carrying mantles of judgment, those two witnesses, and they stood by the Lord of the whole earth. It was no longer the grace, but God's going to give the world an outpouring of grace. And a testimony of his glory before we're lifted out. Hallelujah. That's Revelation chapter 11, by the way. The two witnesses, they began. Now I want you to go to Revelation chapter 7. Something else happens. This is the first time the 144,000 witnesses are mentioned. They are going to be born again in the first half of the tribulation. They're called in Revelation 14... Verse 4, these are they're mentioned twice. They're mentioned in Revelation 7, and they're mentioned in Revelation 14. But they're mentioned, they get marked and sealed in Revelation 7. God commands them all to be sealed. They are getting ready and prepared. They're going to get born again, and they're going to be prepared for their role in the second half of the tribulation. But there's something very interesting that chapter 14:4 says about them. Revelation 14:4 says, these are they which are not defiled with women, they're virgins. There's 144,000. There's exactly 12,000 out of 12 tribes. Only God can do this. And they are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And these are redeemed from among men. Look at this. Redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. This will tell you something very, very important about them. And also about a dispensational shift. If the body of Christ had gone through the tribulation and these guys got born again, they could not have been first fruits. First fruits was for the early church. We are not first fruits. Not one person in this building tonight has been born again. This dispensation is 2,000 years old that we're in right now. It began 2,000 years ago. There's nobody in here that's first fruits. There's nobody. The first fruits is a shift in dispensation. They get born again under a brand new dispensation, which is the 70th week of Daniel, the 7-year tribulation, and they are first fruits of that. They're going to be born again, most likely by the two witnesses. They're going to be prepared by the two witnesses. But I just want to let you know, they're the first fruits, and they get sealed. That's first half. Amen. Now I'm going to shift gears. We're going to get into midway point. Because midway, there's a lot happening in midway point. Pretty amazing things. I want you to tune in here now. Because there is some drastic things that are about to take place. The Antichrist, he brokers a 7-year treaty. He full well intended to break that treaty. We showed Sunday how the power of these two witnesses held them at bay for 3.5 years. But then that 3.5 year mark came because God said their testimony down to the day would be 1260 days, not a day less, not a day more. It had to stop at exact midway. There are a lot of things that are going to take place at Midway Point to prepare for the next testimony of God, the next testimony of the lampstand. You have the bridal company, you have the two witnesses, and you have the 144,000. This is God's end time plan. Amen? And he's getting ready. He's getting them prepared. Now, I want you to go to Revelation 12. This is a powerful revelation right here. This one will set you on fire. Set you in the glory, however you want to look at it. Praise the Lord. Revelation 12. Now, you have to understand, God's getting the world ready for the Messiah, Christ, to reign in the earth. And so what he's going to do at Midway Point, you have the tribulation, which is 7 years. Then you have the great tribulation, which is the final 3.5 years. Everything that's really going to happen, I mean, the mass judgments and the wrath of God in that final 3.5 year period, they will beg rocks to fall upon them. Now watch what happens first. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. This is exact midway point, by the way. And there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and what? His angels. There's not angels, and they're not the demonic beings you see running around the earth. These are high-level principalities. Paul said, I wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in heavenly places. What we would call second heaven. The earth is first heaven, second heaven is controlled by demonic powers. Third heaven is heaven. Amen? Now, second heaven is controlled. These kind of guys, they control the indoctrination of nations. They control the systems of religion and the systems of mammon and the systems of hatred and the systems of murder. And you go on. They control the systems. They control the indoctrination. That's why in India, you have a starvation problem. But the cow that's there in the house that walks freely into the house might be the uncle, and you can't slay him and eat him. And the rats might be the uncles too. And so they let big rats get like that big there, and they eat up all the rice. They don't have a starvation problem. They have a doctrine problem, a belief problem. That is controlled by a principalities in heavenly places. Now Michael comes and he's fighting midway through, not just with the devil, but the principalities. When he says his angels, they're not angels. These are governing principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now notice what happens. And he says, he prevailed not. He says, neither was there found place anymore in heaven. Notice verse 8. Read it again. And they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in, you can say, the second heaven. They, say they. It just wasn't the dragon, they. The devil and all his ruling principalities are cast down into the earth. For the final 3.5 years, these guys that have ruled in a second heaven capacity, God empties the second heaven and drops it all down into the earth. No more rulership anymore. They'll never have that place ever again. But their place to reign will be planet Earth for 3.5 years. And the most widespread destruction you could ever put a description on. And the great dragon, verse 9, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan and his angels, because they could not find a place anymore in the second heaven. You need to read verse 8 very clearly. Again, there was a war in heaven, verse 7. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels, but the dragon and his angels could not prevail, and they, neither was their place found for them anymore. There was no place anymore. That's actually good news. Not for people who are living in the earth at that time. But Michael and his angels are going to tear down the second heaven. There'll be no more indoctrination. The Lord's going to reign for 1,000 years. But that's the next coming judgment of the devil, is he's going to be cast down into the earth and all of its principalities. You don't want to be here. Anybody who thinks that God would have his people here. Everyone's going to be given a wonderful opportunity to know the Lord.
Because the church is going to display God's glory on a big white war horse before any of this starts. If they reject that testimony, God's not done. But they're going to have to live through these days. It's not a fun place to be. And that great dragon, verse 9, was cast out of that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out, what? With him. They're all coming down. Do you really think God would have you on the earth when he's going to cast down? This is not normal wrath, normal judgment stuff. I mean, he's empty in second heaven. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe, yeah, rejoice, you heavens, and those that dwell in the heavens. Woe. You got rejoicing and you got woe. Make sure you're on the rejoicing side. You don't want to be on this woe. This is some serious woe. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, verse 12, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you. You see that? Having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw, verse 13, that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. When he was cast down in the earth, the first thing he did is went after Israel. And all his principalities. But God had a plan there too, praise the Lord. Just keep your lamps burning. Praise the Lord. Stay with the Lord. You're going to be just fine. You're about to be recruited in the greatest army to ever march on planet Earth. There's going to have to be very hard-hearted people to reject what God's about to do. Now, let's look at what God gives them. Well, while you're at Revelation 13, just go there. Now, once the devil is thrown down, God gives him dominion for the space of 3.5 years. He is given total dominion to destroy at will. He's actually given dominion over the saints that are in the earth. There are saints in the tribulation. Understand that. There's a lot of people that get born again during the tribulation period. There are saints that are going through. We're going to look at some of the harvest of these saints. But the devil is given free reign over them. And he's given free reign to destroy at will during that final 3.5 years. Let's look at chapter 13 since we're there. Verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, those are nations that are aligned with him, but I don't want to get into all that right now. And the dragon, that the beast is the Antichrist, by the way. And the dragon is the devil. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. That's Revelation 13:2. When the devil was cast down, he does the kind of same thing as like the Father inhabited the Son. Now the devil inhabits the Antichrist. Steps in and he gives him the seat of his authority. He's gotten cast down from the second heaven, but all of that power to destroy is now working in the earth. That's what that verse is about. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power, look at this, was given unto him to continue 42 months. You see that? This is the final 3.5 years. Now the beast has been empowered to kill at will. The first 3.5 years, there is still a peace treaty going on with Israel. There's a lot of stuff happening because it is a time of tribulation, but not like this time. You're going to see that he's going to break that treaty. But he's empowering the beast right now. The devil is empowering the beast here. And he says he's going to give him 42 months to do this. Exactly 42 months. Exactly 1260 days. It happens at exact midway point. When you see that, then midway point is happening. That day. Now you're going to see something. I'm going to show you three major things that happened that day. The first thing is the devil and his angels are cast down out of heaven. The devil then becomes and he embodies the Antichrist. And he's given power to rule for 3.5 years. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in him in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Verse 7. See that? Please, no, you are not called to be here during this time. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations for 42 months. This notion that the church is going to rise and take over the world, that is not going to happen. There will be a glorious bride that will ride victorious through the earth, a victorious testimony to the earth. But once that horse has had its last day, things are going to shift. And when they shift, God has a new testimony. He's got two witnesses coming along, and you can't hurt them or touch them. They got fire that can call fire down. They can turn rivers into blood. They can call plagues down on the earth, and nobody can touch them for 3.5 years. They're powerful. But God's got a plan even there in this time. But once that 3.5 year mark, once the devil is thrown down, he empowers the Antichrist. The Antichrist has power over the saints. It's a very harsh reality. It's not like today where you can just receive the Lord. You will have to die. 95% chance. Maybe probably more like 99% chance that you are going to die for your testimony. Not you, but people living in this era. A lot of people rejected the first testimony of God, and they're not going to reject it this time. Do you got the Lord Jesus in you? You got to know God's going to spare you from all this. And you ought to rejoice about that. Amen. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. The church is not going to rise to some superpower and overcome the world. It's very clear that the God of our Bible, our God, is going to give the Antichrist 3.5 years to destroy it will. And even that includes the saints of the earth that are in that time. Not going to be a very happy time, but there's going to be a mass harvest. God's got a plan. He's going to commission during this time 144,000 witnesses, eyewitnesses. Probably the most powerful commission services ever, ever, ever in the Bible. Nothing like this one. They get sealed for this time in the first 3.5 years. Daniel speaks of this dominion too in chapter 7, if you want to go look at it real quick. Daniel 7, verse 25, speaking of the beast, he said, he shall speak with great words against the Most High. And he shall look, wear out the saints of the Most High. And he'll think to change times and laws. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time, times, and dividing of time. You see that? That's 3.5 years. That is exactly, that scripture was mirrored in Revelation 13:5. We just looked at it. We look at his 42 months, same thing, 3.5 years. He's saying he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High, and he's going to be given dominion over them for a time, times, and half a time. That's the final 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. He will be given authority. You must know that. It will be given in his hand until a time, times, and dividing time. I love verse 26. Because after time, times, and half a time, something else happens. I like verse 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. That's when the Lord comes riding the other white horse and plants his feet down on the Mount of Olives and declares himself, I am king of the earth. That day the judgment sits. The Antichrist and the false prophet, the Lord takes them, plucks them out of the earth alive by angels, and casts the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Oh, hallelujah. They get to burn 1,000 years all by themselves. And the devil gets chained for 1,000 years. Because he's got to be let out again. Well, why would he do that? Because God never deviates from his plan. He's going to have his last Adam live out the full day in the garden. They never lived out the day. The day of the Lord is 1,000 years. The day you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. They didn't die that day. Adam's body laid down 935 years later. They never lived the full day with the bride. So Christ in the millennial reign is going to live the full day with his bride. 1,000 perfect years. The lion and the lamb together. And then the devil's going to get turned loose again. And he'll actually deceive nations under a millennial reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last Adam's going to do what the first Adam should have done. He's going to grab him up and throw him out of the garden. Oh, hallelujah. That's why he gets turned loose. Because God's got to fulfill his original plan. Then he gets thrown into the lake of fire. So we see they're given 3.5 years. Now, get this. Devil gets thrown down. Right? Powers the Antichrist. That day, he is empowered with dominion and God himself gave it to him. To destroy a will. That is the exact day that he overcomes the two witnesses. Because that is the exact day that their witness comes to an end. Midway point. 1260 days is ended. That same day that the devil's thrown down is the exact same day that he overcomes the two witnesses. Because their days are over and God allows them. Remember we looked at that Sunday? The two witnesses? And they died in the streets of Jerusalem where Christ was crucified. They died. Now, I want you to see this because this is awesome. Go to Revelation chapter 11 real quick. These are the guys that torment them. Now, what's going to happen on their 1260 day midway point is the same day the devil's getting thrown out because he's given exactly 3.5 years, 42 months. So it's exact midpoint. He empowers the Antichrist. That day, God gives them up. It said the beast overcame them. The Antichrist overcame them because the devil's dwelling up inside him now. He just came into him that day. And he overcomes him and they lay on the streets of Jerusalem. Dead. That day. Guess what else happens that day? As soon as they're given up, there's no more resistance anymore. They were the only ones holding him back. Once their day of testimony had ended, and they were overcome in the streets. Where Christ, that is exact midway point. Nothing's holding back anymore. That's the exact same day he walks into the temple and declares himself God. And commits the abomination of desolation. While those three guys are laying in the streets. Two witnesses are laying in the streets dead. Once he took care of them, he really didn't take care of them. God gave them up. God had another plan anyway. He walks into the temple and declares himself God that day. Exact midway point. That's spoken of, by the way, in Matthew 24, Daniel 9, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Remember he said he would confirm the covenant, but in the midst of the week, right in the middle of the 7.5 years, to the day that he would commit and make it desolate. He makes the treaty desolate. This is what Matthew 24 verse 15 says, you can go to Matthew 24, verse 15. Matthew 24 says it like this. He walks into the temple. It says, and when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by the Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever read it, let him understand, then let them that be in Judea, the hills of Judea, flee into the mountains, get out of town. Because that day, he said that day, he said, woe to them who have sucked with child in those days. Woe to them. He says, don't even gather your stuff if you're on the rooftop. Get out. Because he has now been empowered. The devil's been thrown down. All of his demonic principalities have been thrown down. The two witnesses that were withstanding him are laying dead in the street. He walks in and commits the abomination of desolation. And God said, go now. Get out now. Don't even wait a day. His wrath. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. His wrath has come down. All that same day. Spoken of. Matthew 24, Daniel 9, and 2 Thessalonians. Says that man of sin will be revealed. Second Thessalonians 2 verse 4 says this, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, so that he as God will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He will walk in the temple and he'll cause the sacrifice to stop and say, I am God. That's what happens that day. All in 24 hour period. Is that crazy or what? So what's God's plan now? He says, those that are in the hills of Judea, get out. Go now. Now I want you to go to Revelation chapter 12. God has a plan for Israel. Because now what's happened? God has given dominion to the Antichrist. He has power to destroy at will. But God has a protectiveness. He's about to unleash his witnesses too. This glorious commission service is going to happen. When he commissions 144,000 super eyewitnesses. These guys have been called for such a day. They're going to witness in the midst of all this. And they're marked and sealed by God. But he's got a plan for Israel too. He's not going to just give Israel over to the Antichrist. Wow. Look at this. Revelation 12 verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which was brought forth the man-child. That's Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle the same day that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for what? A time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. The wings of a great eagle steps in. I actually believe the great eagle being America, one of her last noble acts in the world that she's going to step in. Look, that could be angels, but I believe that great eagle is speaking of America. America is going to swoop in and help Israel. They might do it for selfish purposes, but they're going to take all of Israel out that same day. She's going to be nourished during the final 3.5 years, protected. Isn't that amazing? For 3.5 years, while the devil's running rampant in the earth, he can't touch them. God's plan of salvation. Well, it's 144,000. Are just now getting started. God's final redemption plan for humanity. His final witness. They have a very specific message for a very specific time. Very powerful. I'm going to close with this. Two more things. Revelation chapter 13. Right after midway point, the false prophet is going to join the Antichrist. He's a man of religion, not ours, but he is a man of religion. And he's going to join the Antichrist. And those two together are going to implement what's called the notorious mark of the beast. That mark is going to be a very devastating thing for that 3.5 years. Revelation 13:11. And behold, another beast cometh up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. He's a global religious leader to stand next to the Antichrist. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, which is the Antichrist, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist, whose deadly wound will be healed. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now here's what God's doing. He's going to add this thing to counterfeit because somehow he's going to have to explain, the beast's going to have to explain how those two witnesses were resurrected in front of the whole world. Because he laid them on the street for 3.5 days while he was doing his thing, declaring himself God. But after 3.5 days, everybody's watching them on cell phones and iPads and smartphones. No other time in human history could Revelation 11 ever come to pass because the whole world watches them. And they get resurrected in front of the whole world. He's got to explain that. How these guys call down fire. So there's another guy that shows up. And he's given powers. This is the false prophet, and he has power to call fire down. And he doeth wonders, and the whole world marvels after them. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. It's a very crazy time. Revelation 13, this is the mark of the beast. We'll close with this. Chapter 13, verse 15. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. An image of the beast should speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should what? They force submission to the Antichrist. It's the king and his system, his global system, his global financial system. He sees all both small and great, verse 16, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or in the name of the beast or in the number of his name. And here is wisdom, let him that understandeth count the number, for it is the number of man, his number is 666, you all know about that. However that number's going to play out, it's going to be a mark. It's going to force servitude to a financial system. He's going to declare himself king. He's going to make people bow down and worship him and take that mark. And if they don't, they're going to be killed. There's a mass harvest of martyrs that are come out of the final 3.5 years. One of the reasons why they're not going to give over, because they're going to see a bridal company ride. They may have rejected that first move, but they cannot reject the testimony. They're going to know, because God's going to give his body power in the end time days. They're going to give everything the early church was given. But he's going to give the latter rain and the former rain together. There's another latter rain, and there's a kingly anointing coming upon the latter rain. And God's going to call his people to rule and to reign in the financial arenas, and they're going to testify to the Lord Jesus. It's king of the earth and its resources. And one of those testimonies' purpose is because he knows there's another king coming that's going to command people to take his mark or die. And they reject that first testimony. They're still going to remember that goodly war horse that ran across the land. And that bridal company, it'll be inescapable. The testimony. More people in this 3.5 years will be born again. Probably all generations past in this time frame. It's going to be God's ultimate plan of redemption. Three phases of testimony. The bridal company, the two witnesses, and the 144,000. They witness in the final before the Lord comes back. He brings his angels with him. You know the first thing they do? Let's throw this out here. First thing the angels do when God brings them back is pluck the unbelievers out of the earth. Did you know that? They gather their reaper angels, and they're going to cast the vine of the earth into the winepress of wrath. And they are going to, that's spoken of 3 or 4 different places. First thing, they're going to pluck all the unbelievers. There are going to be people that are going to live through the tribulation. Believers. Israel is one of them. He protects them the whole time. There are going to be people that are going to live on. Just let me throw this out at you in my second close. Now, I'll give you a scripture for this later. But when the Lord comes back, he has reaper angels with him, and they're going to gather the vine of the earth, and all unbelievers are going to be plucked out of the earth simultaneously. Everybody has that mark. They're gone. There are going to be people that are going to live through that repopulate during the millennial reign. All right? Now, people who say that the body of Christ is going to live through the tribulation period, they say that when the Lord comes back on his white horse is the same day the rapture takes place. So just think about it a minute. I'm kind of fast forwarding on you. But think about it. So God comes in with his reaper angels, the Lord, and he gathers all the unbelievers out. Then the Lord comes and he raptures his whole church. Who's left? There is no millennial. There's nobody left. If everybody lived through and he raptures everybody that day and the reaper angels take the unbelievers, who's left? Who's he going to rule and reign with? Over. Because there are people that are living through the tribulation and there are people that are going to repopulate the earth. And some of those people, the devil is going to, after 1,000 years, stir up and make a war at the last 1,000 years. Those are people. They are not glorified saints. Anyway, that's just food for thought. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.